This is episode 12 of IDRA Class Notes.
We went into our first grade class, and I was just so amazed how the first graders was just standing. I couldn't read it, but just standing up there, you know, just reading. And then we had an English speaking child in there, and she was reading. I was like, okay, it can happen. So I really enjoyed that.
Welcome to the IDRA Class Notes Podcast. I'm Christy Goodman. If you are a regular listener, thank you for coming back. And if you're a first-time listener, this is a podcast for people who care about ensuring every child has an excellent and equitable education. That's what the Intercultural Development Research Association is deeply committed to. I want to encourage you to subscribe to this podcast either through our website or through iTunes or other podcast directories so that you won't miss a single episode. If you hear something today that strikes you or that brings up a question you have, we'd love to hear your thoughts. There will be details at the end of this podcast for where you can send an email or fill out a comment on our form online. And we've posted on our website a short survey to learn a little more about you and what you think about this podcast series. The results will help us serve you better. We'd really appreciate it if you would hop over to our website at www.idra.org and complete the survey. It won't take long because we value your time. We'll be running the survey at least until the end of June. And now for today's topic, we have a treat for you. We recently held our annual IDRA La Semana del Niño Early Childhood Educators Institute. It's the only institute in the country that focuses on early childhood education of English language learners. And on the last day, I had a wonderful opportunity to visit with three participants. They talked about their experience here, what's happening at their schools, and what they've learned at this institute that will help them. Before we begin, let me tell you their names. Tony Rodriguez from Texas, Michelle Christina from Louisiana, and Pam Logan from Michigan. And I hope you enjoy it.
Well, I'm here today. We are here with the on the last day of the annual IDRA La Semana del Niño Early Childhood Educators Institute. And I have around the table three folks who have come to San Antonio to attend the institute. And we're going to talk a little bit about what's been going on this week and what y'all may have picked up that would be useful for y'all. But let's first just go around the room and introduce yourself, how long you've been teaching, that kind of thing, and where you're from.
Okay. I'm from Midland, and I was a teacher assistant for 16 years. I became a teacher and taught for 7 years, and now I'm at the Region Service Center, the Education Service Center. I work with a program called CIRCLE, or Team Texas Early Education Model, and I mentor 24 teachers in three different cities in our region. So I work with pre-K teachers, and that's my background. I've taught pre-K. So it's very exciting. It's a new, kind of a new program, and we're on a grant right now, and it's interesting to get to see. We work with three different entities, which is daycare, Head Start, and ISDs. So I have teachers in all three of those areas. And what we're trying to do is get everybody on the same page as far as language and literacy is concerned and have pre-K children ready for kinder when they leave pre-K. Okay. So that's kind of the program.
And your name, did you get?
Tony Rodriguez.
All right. I'm Michelle Christina, and I'm from the New Orleans area in Louisiana. I'm out in the suburbs, and I'm currently teaching fifth grade, but I've taught second through fifth grade. And at the moment, I'm teaching the content areas, social studies and science. And I also have two fourth grade social studies classes. I've been teaching for 26 years, and our school population has changed a lot over the 26 years, but especially after Katrina. We lost a third of our population, and most of that was our Hispanic population. They lived in a government-subsidized housing area. This area was destroyed. They've bulldozed it down, and the students have moved to other areas in the suburbs. In the meantime, we've had a lot of Arabic and children also from India come in. So I have children from China, Hong Kong, Iran, Iraq, Egypt, and a lot of other places. And the Arab children usually come in knowing English a little bit. You know, they're fluent enough to speak with you, but they don't always understand how to write it and the spellings and all those things. that our kids have grown up with. And our school has been having Idra come to our school for the past 6 years through Juanita Garcia, and she comes in and does model lessons in the classroom and gives us encouragement, teaches us new strategies. And this year Hector's been with us to go one step further with the technology, and so he's taken our flyer strategies and showed us how to use technology in our classroom to help our second language learners.
It's okay.
Hey, I'm Logan. I'm from Jackson, Michigan. I work for Lincoln Head Start, which is Community Action Agency. I've been teaching for 12 years now. Love it. I work with the preschoolers, getting them ready for kindergarten. And we focus on a lot on children readiness, No Child Left Behind, reading readiness, learning and writing skills. Just, we do a lot, a whole lot.
Okay. And what languages?
In English. But this year, for the first year, I have been working with Spanish kids. I have like seven or eight Spanish kids in my class this year. So now it's beginning to be a mix, and it's really interesting, very interesting.
Well, why don't you tell me some about why you came here? Is this your first La Semana Institute to come to, and kind of what you've been learning?
Well, this was my third one to come to, and I came as a teacher the two other times. And you know, once you have like 22-23 years, you keep thinking, okay, what, you know, what else is there? But coming as a consultant through the region has put a different perspective on it, because since I'm not in the classroom, it still, there's things to take back. Like, I went to the hippie presentation, which I think is very, very good to prepare kids before they come to school, and it's a good way to get the parents involved. So I found that very interesting. And of course, I love going to visit the schools, because when you're out and you're seeing all different schools, then it's good to get a feel for what's going on around the state. And if you're right there with some of the bigger cities, or if you're, because we're kind of considered out there, we're in West Texas, so we're, you know, I see that we have some very, very good programs going on, because in all of our ISDs we have bilingual classes, we have bilingual pre-K, we have bilingual K, and then of course we have the ESL too. So I think that what's going on here is very good, and I think the teachers get some very good training, but it also gives us some ideas to take back different programs that are out there, like for our ECI, different groups that we work with as far as a service center, because we kind of work with everybody. So, you know, I found it very interesting.
This is also my third time coming. The first time I came just as an observer and a teacher, and I learned a lot. The most important thing I think I took originally was so much of how the language differs and how it's taught, and how the children assimilate a second language, and all that was new to me, even though I had probably been teaching about 15 years. The second time I came, I was a presenter, and we did a workshop with science in the content area with basically kindergarten level classes, and just some of the FLAIR strategies and how we can incorporate them. And this year, since Hector's been working with us, we presented how we've taken those FLAIR strategies and incorporated the technology. And so, other than presenting, though, we've gone to the other concurrent sessions and the general sessions, and I learned even more about the language. I learned with the vowels, I knew that they only had very consistent vowel sounds, but how our children don't say the ad cad thing and what they say with their accent,
like Spanish,
because they don't have that vowel sound to build on. And then we heard one yesterday with the science, and the very low amount of Hispanic people that are in certain professions that have to do with science. And that really opened my eyes. And as a science teacher, that made me much more cognizant of what I need to encourage my kids to do and really build up their confidence that they can do endeavors in science and they can get degrees in science, and just sort of push them in a general direction.
Well, this is my first year coming, which I really, really, I have really enjoyed it, and I have learned quite a bit, because for me it was kind of hard for me to relate with the Spanish kids, because I'm talking, but therefore I knew they really couldn't understand what I was saying, and me myself, I really get into my work, and so I was really hard on myself, getting really frustrated and upset, and then the kids can see that I'm getting frustrated and upset. But by me going to visit the class the other day, it just taught me just to take my time
you know, and it will come. Because I would say something and would ask a student to say it, and like she just said, they were unable to say the nouns and the verbs, and I'm thinking, okay, well, I learned something. I shouldn't just say, you can say it, you can say it, but it came to me much better, and it was just, it amazed me, because we went into our first grade class, and I was just so amazed how the first graders was just standing, I couldn't read it. But just standing up there, you know, just reading. And then we had an English-speaking child in there, and she was reading. I was like, okay, it can happen. So I really enjoyed that.
We went to the schools this morning and saw the dual language. Mm-hmm. And when we went in the kindergarten, this little girl was on the computer, and she had typed this huge story, like 4 or 5 sentences long, with very large-looking Spanish words to me. And the teacher that I was with speaks Spanish, and she was reading it to me, and I couldn't believe that a kindergartner was already writing at that level. Yes. So we snuck over into the just English mm-hmm. class, and they were doing hat, cat, yes. sat, yes. and they had some writings up on the wall, and the teacher had to rewrite each sentence for them because of the spelling. And it just showed me how phonetic yes. Spanish is, and how much easier it was for those children just to jump right in and start learning and writing and speaking.
Right.
It was just amazing.
It was.
Well, we went to Bonham this morning, and they had a pre-K class in the computer lab, and I was totally amazed because there was a little girl, and I was watching her, and I thought, surely she's not doing that. And, you know, it had the color words. Well, the color words in Spanish are a little bit harder, right. and she was doing purple, and then she was spelling it. I mean, she was typing it out on the computer, and this particular teacher that had the computer lab said that he's probably one of the only ones that lets the pre-K kids go into the computer lab. And of course they were doing them in Spanish and doing their alphabet and matching letters and putting letters together, and I was just like, huh, this is just amazing. I mean, it was really amazing to me. So I was very impressed with what they were doing.
That's good. I have a kindergartner and a 3.5-year-old, and the kindergartner, when she was in pre-K, they had them on a computer. And the teacher told me later that they've noticed that children, when they're away from the computer, after it came into the classroom, uh-huh. they get their letter recognition quicker, and several of the skills they were developing faster after having worked on the computer. I mean, it says something about the programs that they were using and that kind of thing,
exactly.
How they were using it. Which you, when you're talking about integrating technology into FLAIR, talk a little bit about that.
Okay. We're very, very fortunate. The parents at our school fund a full-time computer lab teacher. And with matching funds, we have a very up-to-date lab. I think we have 26 or 27 computers in there. And our K through 5 go into the computer lab once a week instead of going to PE at that time. And this is the first year that, like, I've had fifth graders that started in the computer lab in kindergarten. And I have done some very awesome things with them that I never could have done in the past years, with them doing presentations on PowerPoint by themselves. They do research by themselves on the internet, and it's all because they started in that computer lab in kindergarten, and they've learned the basics, they know computer skills, and now they can go on and use the higher order thinking in the technology, not just doing a program or whatever. And so FLAIR really focuses on language development, and so the kids in kindergarten and first grade, they're typing in the vocabulary words. They use the camcorder that's on top of their computer, and they hold up their little vocabulary words, and they read them to themselves, and they spell them, so it's reinforcing. And they think reading vocabulary words to a computer is so much more fun than just studying them on their own. And so they take the time to actually learn the words. And so I've seen a big improvement with just having the two things together for the past 5 years. The higher level my students are now than the ones I would have had 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And Pam, you talked about the population changing in your school. How has that affected teaching? You talked about your own frustration, but have you noticed it among other teachers as well?
Well, we only have 2 main classes that we focus on. Miss Tara Green, she's another teacher, and she has Spanish kids in there, but I pretty think Tara is more comfortable with it because she has done it for a couple of years, and this is my first year doing it.
Yeah.
But we work as a team, and what I don't seem to understand, she helps me out, and I want to say then I think down the hall, because we have like half days and full days in the classroom, and so I think it might be another classroom that has a few
Spanish, but not a whole lot. But yet we do have a Spanish person in the building, and she comes around and writes. If we write English, she'll translate it for us. And so it's working out really well. I really think that's good, too, just not to just have just one set English class or English-speaking person in your room. I'm really pleased with how they have combined.
That's good.
Because everything is just not the same anymore. Everybody different and everybody talking different. So
yeah, our world has shrunk so much.
Exactly.
The internet
exactly.
And the news.
Yes.
And our kids are so tolerant of the other cultures. The Arab children do Ramadan, and they go for a month not eating from dawn until dusk.
Yes.
And our children are so, you know, they accept that they're not going to eat lunch at that time, and they don't make fun of them, and they ask questions why, and they have them explain things to them. And then the Hispanic children bring all their cultures from Central and South America. And we have a thing called the World of Keller Night, which is a dinner, and all the different groups get together.
That's nice.
You know, the parents and the kids. And it started as a little thing, and it's just grown and grown.
Nice. That's nice.
Well, and we had a man come and talk to us about the demographics in Texas alone, but all across the United States. And the Hispanic population is growing and growing and growing. And so what used to work is no longer working. So we have to find ways, no matter what grade we're teaching, we have to find ways to make it work. And going to Highland Forest or Forest Park, I don't know which one we went to yesterday, but anyway, they had the dual language. And I was very, very impressed with what they were doing. Because those kids, I mean, I was just, you know, they were reading to me in Spanish, could translate it into English, you know, and I was just like, oh my gosh, you know. So it's a plus for anyone to have more than one language.
Yes,
you know, it's just, it's harder for us as adults because we don't pick it up as easy.
It's
so
it makes me feel like now, you know, when I was growing up, I should have picked up another language or two, and then I would be more.
And a lot of what I've learned here, not just with the difference in languages, but the strategies and some of the workshops that I went in, they work for all kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just your second language
learners.
And I can take the same strategies that I've learned from Juanita to help them and use them with my high kids, my low kids, my special needs kids. It works with everybody.
That's right.
That's good. Well, tell me kind of a last question here. What is one thing that you will share or tell someone when you go back home, someone at work? What is one thing from this week that you want to be sure and get across?
I think one of the things, well, one thing in particular is, since we're so focused on language and literacy, this very much promotes what we're doing. So some of the workshops that I went to, they were very, very good, and I can take some of those things back for some of the people that I work with to share in their with their teachers also. And like I said, the HIPPIE program I think is very good. And for our ECI people, which is early intervention, I think it would be wonderful if they could get something like that going in a few of our rural areas, because we have quite a few rural areas, that it would really help them. And so there were several different things, but those two most especially.
Excuse me, one of the workshops I went into was about teaching young children to read, and it was with the Aegis Project Read. And there were a lot of techniques and philosophies that went on and working with the small groups, and I'd love to go back and share that with our pre-K and our kindergarten. And I also went to one, Sciences Inquiry, and I teach science, and several of the other teachers in our hall have the upper grades with the science, 3rd through 5th. And we learned a lot about the difference between hands-on and inquiry-based, and how to distinguish the two and how to use them. We did a lot of hands-on, so that was fun. So I'll go back and show them some of those things. And then just a lot of the general knowledge, the thing with the parental compact that's part of No Child Left Behind. We have something like that in place, but ways to make it better and more useful and to get the parents involved with it.
We focus on a lot of literacy, reading and writing, and I attend this class here, How Children Learn to Read and Write, which was really interesting, even though we do a lot of the things that he was speaking on, because with me doing preschool, that's all it is for us, is hands-on. So my kids are definitely learning as they do, you know, the hands-on activities. And because we have a parent come in one time and say, well, what they learning? They learn while they play. You know, they touch in sensories and feeling this and doing that. So that made me really feel, okay, well, then I'm doing something right. Because what he was saying, you know, we already do it. And I was like, oh, well, that's good. And I really like Mr. Rodriguez. He was really uplifting. He really was. I really enjoyed him. So I think I would just go back and tell them that we are headed in the right direction. You know, just continue to encourage each other and teamwork, and we'll reach our goal to where we're trying to get to with the kids.
And let me just add that we will put in the show notes links to information on HIPPI and on FLAIR so that people listening to this can access that and know kind of what we're referring to. Any last words?
Just thank you for letting us come and hosting this year after year.
That was a very good experience.
Yes, very good. I enjoyed myself.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you for listening to IDRA Class Notes. For more information on IDRA and other Class Notes topics, go to www.idra.org. You can also send us your thoughts by email to podcast@idra.org or fill out the form on our podcast webpage at www.idra.org/podcasts.